This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
As we have already gotten one winner in Cleveland here, and that was Amber, who works with us, and she took my lucky numbers and won a Keno. We're feeling good. We do have Mike Sando of The Athletic coming up in about 15 minutes here, but Jared Allen yesterday. So we played a lot of Kenny Atkinson yesterday. We got some Donovan Mitchell we'll get to today as well from today. But Jared Allen also talked yesterday about the Cavs' physicality and that being an area of focus going into game two tonight.
The thing that just stood out is their physicality and our lack of physicality. I feel like we could have been more aggressive in terms of making things difficult for them like we did in the Heat series, but I'm sure that's going to pick up next game. You know the best part about the playoffs? I think you draw the line yourself. The playoffs are so physical. I don't think we drew the line yet. You know, I think we weren't physical enough to be like, this is where we can't cross. Like, I get what you're saying, like Evan was pushed on to DeAndre, but for ourselves, there's another level that we can be more physical.
All right, how do you feel about Jarrett saying that after the game one loss?
Jarrett, you're too honest of a human, and you need to stop speaking as a representation for the team. Because
so it's better if he lies?
Yes, because listen, 2 years ago, the lights were too bright. We all knew the lights were too bright. Putting it out there didn't help anything. And then now this year, now they're not physical when all we asked and wanted for them the entire time was them to be more physical. And I appreciate him putting it out there, but you're a little too honest, Jared Allen. Just a little too honest.
I actually have to defend my guy on this because...
Your guy, that's my guy.
You
kicked him out of the core four.
Well, no. Yeah, he's not a member of the core four, but of the other Cavs, he's definitely my guy.
Okay.
Yeah, like the he's not one of the core guys. Four. No, DeAndre Jordan's part of the core four.
DeAndre Hunter, we have to get his name
him
right
too.
First.
Him, yeah. All the DeAndres.
Every
if you're
DeAndre.
DeAndre, you're now a member of the core four over Jared Allen. But my guy, Jared Allen, listen, honesty was bad under J.B. Bickerstaff. J.B. wanted the
this
guys.
This was too honest.
No,
this was
no
too
such
honest.
As, there's no such thing as too yes, honest
this,
this in
was
the
too
NBA.
Honest.
There's such a thing as too honest with your spouse.
I don't want.
There's not such a thing as too honest with in the NBA.
That's what this was. You were too honest. Your wife asked you how the dress looked. You're going to tell her the dress looks nice, okay? All Cavs fans want to hear right now is that you feel like you're playing a level of physicality and you're wiping away what the previous 2 years were.
So we're infants?
You're not.
We need to hear the other.
Saying that you're not, like, it was just too honest of a moment for me, Jarrett.
I think, well, listen, if what he said didn't match up with what you saw, and this may be, I might be flip-flopping, because I think once the Cavs turned on the physicality in a game one, I think it was there. And I think instantly in that third quarter, they became the more physical team. I think it's then the offense that really let them down with that 3 or 4 minute stretch in the middle of the game where Indiana just tore off in a run and the Cavs couldn't buy a basket. So it's funny, like, I don't think you need to find more physicality. I think you just need to continue what you did in the second half. And then, I don't know, pass the freaking ball.
Yeah, passing the ball would help. How do you let Mathurin be someone that's more physical than you? How do you let some of these guys, it's fine. I mean, there's a reason why Giannis wanted to palm his head like a basketball. Like he is trying to play that role of the guys that we've seen in other teams. It's not to the level of like a Dylan Brooks type or anything like that, but he's trying to fill that role. And right now it seems like for Indiana, he's doing a pretty good job.
I mean, the Pacers have like seven of those guys that we're going to hate by the end of this series. But Mathurin is the guy because Mathurin does the cheap stuff. He does the Draymond stuff. He does the landing zone stuff. He does the offhand pushing you away stuff. And I actually think, like, listen, this wouldn't be the worst game to get a technical. But I continue to come back to the idea of I don't want physicality in the Cavs' head. We saw that in the regular season.
Acting like you have to be physical.
Yeah, I mean, like the Cavs, to me, like, you were physical enough in the second half. You found the gear that you needed to. I don't need you to overcompensate because you sleptwalked through the first half, right?
No, I agree with that. Like, I don't want it to be a point of emphasis where you sit back and be like, "Oh, I haven't been physical enough, so here, let me go ahead and be physical." That, I don't think that's good. That's you're playing inside your head if you're playing that style of basketball.
So it depends on who it is.
But I don't think they're naturally very physical to begin with anyway.
I don't want Donovan to have to be physical. I don't want Ty Jerome. Sweet Lord, I don't want him to. But Jared Allen, yeah. If Jared Allen wants to set a hard screen, or if Jared Allen wants to, when somebody tries to go under the screen, if he wants to knock somebody,
he
the
was
Tuesday,
doing that. Some, by the way, in the Miami series, yep, he did do some of that.
And not just that, guys. He was physical in the Orlando series last year. That's been lost in the Ribgate or Ribgazi, as we've called it. That's been lost in all of that. Jared's been more physical. Honestly, even Evan in the Miami series had some very physical moments, more on the offensive side than the defensive side. So, like, I think you found it. If you go into this game thinking we have to be more physical, you're going to get yourself in foul trouble. Because I think the refs are already going to be looking for it, given that both coaches were going off in that game, and then Kenny came out afterwards and talked about the physicality. I think the worst thing you could do is try and overextend yourself when it comes to that. I just want you to play Kenny should cut on the physical, the tape from, was it like 5 minutes into the third quarter when they took off?
Okay, yeah. And like, they went in the 15-4 run.
Till the end of that. Like, show that bit from the Cavs and be like, you've already done it. You don't need more physicality. You just need to extend your physicality across four quarters, yeah, and you'll be fine.
By the way, I know Jared said they need to be more physical and all that. I didn't leave game one thinking that they got bullied by any stretch of the measure, though.
I mean, the Pacers did, okay, so I agree with you, by the way. I think the Pacers did all the little dirty tricks they can get away with that you shouldn't be getting away with in the NBA playoffs. Specific to, like, right, the landing zone stuff, the offhand stuff. And then the
for
frustrating
sure
thing is then Evan got called for what was much, much lighter of a touch on, what was it, Turner? Who went up for the dunk?
Turner.
And then Evan got, yeah, it was
Turner
on a breakaway, so it was, yeah, Turner. But, yeah, that's where I'm at. Like, you don't make up for it, but just,
but you know
find
what I mean?
Who
you know
were
what I mean,
in the third
though?
Quarter.
Like, usually you think about it, and it's like you got a bunch of goons going after you, and they're pushing you around, and they're very intentional. Kind of like when Donovan tried to push Jimmy Neutron into next week and make that. Like, you know what I mean?
No, that one,
like,
was great.
But that's very intentional. You, yeah, know what I mean? Like, that's very, like, all right, Duncan Robinson, I'm gonna do this, and I'm gonna make this be known what we're seeing. Whereas I feel like the Indiana Pacers, I felt like the Pacers did more of like a sleight of hand bullying with all this.
No, that's fair.
It wasn't just outright bullying, and it wasn't outright out physicaling.
It was in the screens. It was in yeah, the margins,
for
which
sure
is where you get away with a lot in the playoffs.
And
the
I think that's what they know. I think they learned, by the way, a lot of that in the first series that they had in the playoffs, and they got away with a ton of that stuff.
But if anyone's gonna pick up the tab here, it's Jared. And then if anybody else is going to, it's Evan. I mean, I've heard, Tristan Thompson's got to go out there and give you some goon minutes. Like, guys, don't overreact to game,
yeah,
one.
Yeah, and also don't put Tristan Thompson out there just to put Tristan Thompson out there to be a goon.
The worst thing the Cavs can do in this game is overreact to game one.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
It was death by a thousand paper cuts. And you found some of what you need to do throughout that game. You just didn't. I think you just expended too much energy to get back in the game. Like,
I think they were
playing
surprised,
like it's a game seven from the rip, and you'll win this game.
I think they were surprised at how fast Indiana was. I don't think they saw that coming, and I don't think they were as well prepared for how good offensively Indiana was going to be. Because let's be honest, Indiana is they can play at the level offensively that Boston can play at. I mean, they really are really good offensively.
I just think where I'm at with this team is, if you have to make a statement, you know the guys who should make a statement, go out there and just I mean, it really, like, to avoid a loss tonight, it is just do a million little things slightly better than you did in game one. And even then, like, there's going to be some regression from Indiana. And who?
Yeah, they're not going to shoot 60% in the first half again. I promise you.
Maybe I'll look like a jackass today, and they will hit 60% or 52% from three.
If that's how it goes down, and they're just going to have an all-time three-point shooting series, then okay, fine. But I'm going to hold
Boston,
my breath.
As it's known.
Well, yeah, I mean.
But no, I mean, I this team at points, like the Detroit thing where Jarrett sent whichever nameless Piston just hurtling into the stands, that's what I want. So if this is more Jarrett saying, I have to be more physical tonight, I'll never tell a big, especially a rim-running big whose main value is on defense, I'll never tell him to not be more physical. But as to the rest of the Cavs, no. There are guys who do that in the playoffs, and if your wings start to try and do what Mathurin's done, well, your wings don't have that reputation. Your wings won't get away with it.
You know, it's amazing as we talk more and more about the series, how much of an importance it really is on Allen and Mobley, especially in tonight's game. Not only for being the guys that you're talking about there defensively, but then also offensively as well. It's wild how much we have just kind of bypassed game one with the idea that in game two, just make it more about Allen and Mobley, and we'll probably end up with a better outcome.
I just want to wax that ass tonight. I really do. I'm so sick of these Pacers already. And it's not about the Pacers. It's about the overreaction to game one. Like, all right, we had a justifiable reaction yesterday.
A lot went wrong in game one.
It did, but that's how it should be chalked up.
And then now we have injuries, and we had so many injuries that nobody could have seen coming. Like, I understand why people are thinking the way that they're thinking right now, while also understanding that this should not change the series outcome at all.
Cavs in five. I'm going to say it once, yeah, I'm going to say it again.
You had to lose one in order to get a Cavs in five.
And Jarrett's
going to... We got the one out early.
If anyone's going to reset the typewriter, it's Jarrett tonight. And if that dude just walks out with like five fouls, 14 rebounds, three blocks, and no points, I'll be a happy man. Like, I really will. 216-474-0092. Jared Allen talked about the Cavs' need for more physicality in game two. Do you think the Cavs need to be more physical tonight? I just think they need to go back and watch that third quarter tape, and they just need to match that. They don't need to try and go above what they did. They just need to take 7 minutes in the third quarter in game one and match it to 48 minutes tonight. Mike Sando of The Athletic will talk the number jersey conversation that's sweeping the NFL. We'll also get his thoughts on the Browns draft and the Browns trajectory this year on 92.3 The Fan, coming up in 5 minutes. We are live at the Clevelander. Things are going swimmingly. I've already been replaced in my own marital bed. Things are great. Everything's wonderful. But we got the numbers for Browns rookies. A lot of dialogue on that. We got Dylan Gabby hinting that he had some sort of draft promise for the Cleveland Browns. And oh, yeah, we got two first-round picks next year. A lot to explore here as we head out to the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. And welcome on of The Athletic, the great Mike Sando. Mike, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Well, it is great to have you here. Not sure how much of the show you've caught to this point, but I will tell you, we've not dialed in a lot on the Browns. So I guess we'll start big picture. What are your thoughts on the Browns offseason coming off the 3-14 disaster of last year?
I think it's been fine. I don't know that every move fits into a broader plan that you can easily see. I mean, they didn't do much at quarterback for a lot of the offseason, but gave a ton of money to Myles Garrett. Then in the draft, didn't do much at quarterback, and then suddenly took two guys that, you know, in a manner that made it look like, again, it wasn't necessarily part of a plan going in. So you kind of like, you know, some of the players that they've added and certainly the draft picks that they've added, but you're not always 100% sure what it's all pointing to.
Yeah, I guess that's what we're trying to figure out as well. It seemed obvious after day one what they were trying to do. You know, you go with a guy like Mason Graham, you get a first-round pick for next year, you're like, all right, this is going to be a little bit of a rebuild, and then they'll go hard 2026 for the quarterback, and that still might be in play. But then you take two quarterbacks and two running backs, and Mike, it feels like the plan for this upcoming season gets a little muddier.
It does, yeah. It doesn't mean it can't work, though. I mean, they may... You know, one of those two young quarterbacks may wind up looking good and being the guy. They may love him, and they've fixed it. If not, they've got one next year, which is great planning. Like, everybody liked the ability to get a first-round pick next year that could be a high pick. Jacksonville's win total, I think, 7.5, which puts you, you know, between the 8th and 14th pick overall, typically. And we've seen Trevor Lawrence have a couple concussions lately. It wouldn't shock anybody if that ended up being a really good pick. So I think they've done a mix of things that, you know, give themselves a chance to have found their quarterback in the next couple years.
Mike, when it looks to, just big picture for the AFC North, I think there's one team that might have actually actively gotten better this offseason to this point. I'm not gonna spoil which one it is. How many of the teams in this division do you think actually got better off of who they were last year?
It's a great question. I mean, I think the Ravens are pretty much the same, maybe adding a pass rusher, wouldn't you say?
That was the team Steelers, that I had, by the way. I think they had a hell of a draft.
Yeah, I think they had a good draft. So, you know, they may have gotten somewhat better, but their free agency, they didn't do a ton. I mean, I think they're largely the same team. Good, interesting draft. I mean, the Steelers, we don't even know what they're going to have at quarterback. Maybe it's Rodgers, and if it is that good or bad? And then I think the Bengals kind of, you know, by giving a whole bunch more money to a couple guys that were already on the team doesn't make your team better, right? It makes your team more expensive. So, and then taking a couple of swings in the draft, who knows if they're going to work out. So I think you make a good point.
Are the expectations for the Browns this year, are they at the floor? Is that what a lot of people are feeling like?
I would say they're low, you know. What's interesting about Cleveland is they seem to be on their own timeline. So no one is, like, talking about this season from the outside, like, of what the head coach and GM have to do to keep their jobs, because it sort of feels like they may just stay the course anyway, right? Doesn't it feel that way? We haven't seen the urgency or felt the urgency. They're taking a long time to move on from the Deshaun Watson contract, and they feel like they've pretty much got the right guys. And here we go. Do you feel that?
Yeah, I see what you're saying. It does feel like the front office and the head coach kind of have this long runway. But what I would respond back to that with is it's a dangerous move, Mike, if you're going to go ahead and think that Jimmy Haslam is just going to stay with you forever. I mean, we're entering year 6 of one playoff win with this regime. You've been around the NFL for a long time. You don't keep your job that long if you got one playoff win through 6 seasons.
No, you don't. I mean, I would say, yeah, you're right about that. I mean, it's hard to do, but you know, it was a one-off move with Deshaun Watson that, by all accounts, the owner seems to be taking some responsibility for. So that's a consideration as well.
Mike Sando on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. So I guess we can do this for either rookie quarterback, but given that there were maybe first or second round expectations and he went in the 5th round, what's the bar for success with a Shedeur Sanders pick for the Browns?
I think you treat it like a fifth-round pick. I mean, that just is what it is. So you would probably, you know, you probably are very hopeful that he's going to be better than the typical fifth-round pick. I think most...
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is. With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down. we've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
People probably thought from a talent standpoint he was second round. So, you know, a lot of quarterbacks outside the first round don't make it. Most of them don't. And shoot, a lot of them don't in the first round either, but it drops off after that. So I think you're more hopeful than you would be for a typical fifth round pick based on the talent. And you just hope that they can work with him and that he fits in as, you know, one of the guys. Sure, you want to be a leader, but as more of one of the guys than he was perceived to be at Colorado, where everything seemed to, you know, revolve around him.
Mike, you know, the Browns took two running backs in Samson and Judkins. Is there any way you could possibly call the running back room now a strength? We still don't know what's going to happen with Nick Chubb, and it is just two rookies, but spending that type of capital on them, we should expect something, I would imagine, quicker than later, yeah. Right?
I would think so. I think you're really hoping to at least hit on one of them this year, wouldn't you think? Between those two, you threw a couple, mm-hmm. hopefully better than darts, and you know, one of them was pretty early, I think 36th pick overall. So, yes, I think you would be thinking one of those guys is going to show you something right away.
Mike, looking to it is the number time of year where we start to figure out what players are going to wear what. Abdul Carter wanted to wear 56. He wanted to wear LT's number, and LT said no. Then he was like, "I'll wear 11 because that's what I wore at Penn State. And of course, that didn't happen because Phil Sims wore 11, and that's also retired by the New York Giants. What do you make of the number debacle going on with at least one NFL player right now trying to figure out what number he's going to wear in the NFL?
Yeah, I think we forget how young these guys are coming out, what their reference points are. I don't think there's an attempt to be disrespectful. I really don't think that he has any idea probably how good Lawrence Taylor was or even who Phil Sims was, other than if he saw him on TV as a broadcaster, right? So I think that is where the team needs to come in. Maybe you're talking to these guys ahead of time and saying, hey, what number do you want to wear? And you tell them, oh, yeah, sorry, these ones are off limits because some of the greatest players in the history of a franchise, and in Lawrence Taylor's case, maybe a top five player in the history of the game, wore that and is retired. So these are the ones you can choose from. That's what I would be doing if I were the team, being proactive, especially with these super high picks that come in with expectations. And let's face it, they're 22 years old, so they were born in the 2000s. How do they know, unless they're a historian or really studying history, who Lawrence Taylor is?
Yeah, I mean, they just wouldn't, and that's why, I don't know, I kind of defended him a little bit. I'm like, wait, what's the worst thing that happens? You have to ask if you want something in life, right? They say no. It's not some massive disrespect to LT or Phil Sims. They're not going to come up and offer it to you, I promise you that.
No, but I would like it if the teams just told the players what numbers are retired and pick different ones. That's what they should do. Don't ask the player. To me.
Mike Sando on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Shador didn't get a chance to choose the number two because DeAndre Carter, who most of our listening audience has never heard of, but the Browns signed earlier this offseason, got to the number two earlier, so he chose 12. How are we feeling about the number 12 for Shador Sanders?
I like 12 as a quarterback number. I think 12 is sort of a classic quarterback number going back, you know, over the years. So I got no problem with it. I mean, Terry Bradshaw wore number 12. There's a lot of good number 12s.
Yeah, I mean, Tom Brady in that list as well. Let me ask you about Elijah Moore's comments. He lands in Buffalo and instantaneously, and listen, I almost gave him the playbook. I went on, you know, Buffalo Radio and was like, he needs to just tell everyone his quarterbacks weren't good in Cleveland for the previous 2 years. But do you like, or is that just too easy of a cop-out for a wide receiver, and, you know, ending in a new spot, landing in a new spot, and then saying, you know what, it was a lot of the quarterback situation more than it was me just not being great at football?
I think it's okay to... I would put it this way. The best way to do that would be just to really talk about how exciting it is to play with Josh Allen, right? I mean, that being said, the situation was so extreme in Cleveland, I think he's okay. It's not like he had one guy in Cleveland and this is a shot across the bow at Baker Mayfield or somebody, right? This is a combination of guys you can't even remember who half of them are, so I think he's okay.
All right, Mike. I was just I was on a popular NFL website, and with a headline is one reason for optimism for all 32 teams. For Browns fans out there who we're coming off 3-14. It's not about this year apparently, and now all of a sudden we're maybe not feeling the most optimistic about this. What reason would you cite for Browns fans being optimistic this year?
I guess I would say that the page has been turned to a bigger degree than in the past on Deshaun Watson. Wouldn't you say he's not going to be part of the quarterback equation going into this season? And I think that opens up a feeling of some hope for the future, even if you're going Joe Flacco for a little bit. You've got a couple of young guys, at least now you can try out, that you might be excited to see.
You mentioned Joe Flacco. Do you think Joe Flacco will end up winning the job and then getting the week one start?
Probably. He's probably most likely to, but a long time between now and then. We don't know what those young guys are going to show, and if they decide to turn the page, they could turn the page.
Follow this man on social media, at Sando NFL, Mike Sando, NFL writer for The Athletic. Mike, really good stuff, buddy. Appreciate you as always.
Thank you.
Mike Sando there. On the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Very economical with his words today.
yeah, that's the right way to put it.
That is Mike. And you know you're in Dutch.
That is Mike.
When like you're like, so like what's a reason for optimism? And it's like you don't have to watch Deshaun Watson play this year.
And it is a reason for optimism.
That felt
wrong.
So much more bleak.
Than, not wrong.
As he was saying it, you could. By the way, you're right. He is right.
He's right.
But when it's like you don't have to watch this person play, that is a special level of bleak.
It is bleak. But maybe we need to stop and smell the roses a little bit when it comes to that stuff. Because I haven't taken enough time to be like, you know what? We don't have to watch Deshaun Watson play football. That's a really nice thing not to have to watch.
You know what? You know, it's just around the rose, the garden bed around the roses.
Yeah, what's that?
It is manure.
Yeah.
So
I thought you were going to go for a steaming pile of trash, but you went manure, so that works too.
Is it manure? Is it roses? Is it manure flavored rose?
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something...
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 50% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Want to grow your business fast? With TikTok ads, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
If you're a parent or share a fridge with someone, Instacart is about to make grocery shopping so much easier. Because with family carts, you can share a cart with your partner and each add the items you want. Since between the two of you, odds are you'll both remember everything you need. And this way, you'll never have to eat milkless cereal again. So minimize the stress of the weekly shop with Family Carts. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply. For three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Roses, I can't tell at this moment.
Joe Flacco shows up with manure-flavored roses for Mother's Day.
He'd get away with it. That jawline. Who are we kidding? Great stuff from Mike Sando, though. We will react. I'm going to surprise you here. JP has an opinion on Shedeur Sanders and what the number change might mean for the Cleveland Browns and Shedeur. That's coming up in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. We're back at the Clevelander. We're here until 7. Stop on by and see us. We've seen a few of you already. Mm-hmm. Always love to see you guys gearing up here for game 2 of Cavs and Pacers just down the road here in Cleveland. But I don't understand the harm. Listen, is it a little not knowing the team history that you're going to, asking for two retired numbers? That feels like basic research Abdul Carter could do, sure. But the idea that he just asked and they said no, and somehow this kid is taking flack for it, is one of the most bizarre turns of anything.
No question. You don't get what you don't ask for. You got to at least throw it out there. Mac can be here at the Clevelander. If Mac's really hungry and wants a hamburger, you know how he's going to get that hamburger? He's got to go up to the waitress and say, hey, I'd like a hamburger. It's not just going to magically appear. So you get what you ask for. And so I have no problem with that. Like, for instance, Cam Ward in Tennessee, he got number one. You want to know why? Because he asked Warren Moon if he could have number one, and Warren Moon was like, yeah, sure, let's do that.
What if we just put like a 30-year time limit on
jerseys?
On jersey retirement.
Okay, so we are getting up in that time where there are only so many numbers and there are only so many jerseys that can be retired. The Yankees have a problem with this. The Bears, actually. You know the NFL came down and told the Bears they can't retire any more uniforms?
See?
Because they retired more than anyone else in the NFL, and they just retired so many. That's why Urlacher's number is still out there, because it's like they just got to a point where you can't retire anymore. 30 years, and then it comes back. I don't hate it.
I mean, Ernie Davis has been gone for 60 years. His number got retired because he passed away before he could make an impact on the field.
Yeah.
Don Fleming, I think, was like 2 weeks later, passed away within the same time of Ernie. That's another number that's been gone 60 years. Like, that's a lifetime. Like, this is like, all right, this is like when you go and somebody's like, you win a lifetime supply of something. That is relative. If you say to my big self, hey, you get a lifetime supply of steak, I will exhaust that within 5 years and likely my ability to live. But if you say that to like...
That would also exhaust it.
You know what, though? It'd fulfill, right?
That'd be a lifetime supply, though.
Yeah, 5 years. Who knew? But that same whatever would take me 5 years to get through for somebody else might be 30, 40 years because they don't need as much steak. That's the number thing.
That's the number thing?
Like, once you get past 30 years, that's a lifetime of your number being retired.
I do kind of hate, though, and I'm not trying to make this any sort of way, but, like, you know how certain buildings are named after certain people, and after enough time, they just say, you know what? Somebody else has donated more money. We'll just name it after that guy now. It's like, wait a second. This is I thought this was going to be a lifetime thing. Now I've been dead for 100 years, so it is what it is, but... I don't know. I don't love that side of things.
So you think, like, in the great beyond, you're like 80
I'd be
years?
Pissed.
It bought me 80 years?
I'd be pissed. In the great beyond, if I had donated so much money to have, like, a building named after me at a school, and then all of a sudden, 80 years later, they're like, listen, no one remembers this Jonathan Peterlin guy. Like, no one knows what he did at all.
If we need to go ahead and give it to somebody else because he just donated $50 million, I'd be pissed.
All right, but here's the thing. You probably didn't just have one building named after you. Like, the people who can afford a building being named after them generally have many buildings named after them.
I seem like a multi-building named after person. Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying if you can afford one building being named after you on a campus, why can't you have seven or eight?
There are plenty of people. And don't ask for examples off the top of my head because I don't have them. But there are plenty of people that that's the only thing that they got named after themselves.
I think this is a fake controversy. And I think people they clutch their pearls about this stuff. It's really not a big deal. Now, that being said, your jersey is shabunk. Because you will not be able to wear it because he's not being the Chateau.
I'll wear it all day if I want to. What do you mean I won't be able to wear it?
I mean, everyone's going to be like, that's not even the right jersey number.
I'll have to go back to telling people that my last name is Sanders, I guess. It was a bad development. I think this was smart, though. And listen, a lot of people have been in my mentions telling me, and they're right. This could still change. This is still something that, until it's written in stone, it's really not written in stone. All sorts of players have had weird numbers at this point and then end up with a completely different number by the time they get there. But I think it's smart, Nick. I think it's smart for Shador to try to put the college experience and everything that was Shador Sanders at Colorado, any relation to Deion, really, to try to put it in his rearview mirror. Now, obviously, you can't get too far away from Deion. He's your dad. But the further and further you can get away from him and Colorado and what you were and wearing number two, I think the better. The branding that it's associated with that as well, I think the better. So I think it's a good move by Shador.
So is this like when a company goes through bankruptcy and it's like, hey, we're not that name anymore. We're a new, better name.
Yes, it's rebranding.
I can't think of any company that fits that bill, but I'm just saying, like, hypothetically, that happened in the corporate world all the time.
All the time. Yes, it's rebranding. And Shador is going to have to go through rebranding. College quarterback Shador is dead, doesn't exist. Now welcome to the NFL quarterback Shador.
I'm not trying to play this out too far. Should he change his name?
No, that
should be Skippy. Should be Skippy Sanders now, or maybe
I'm not playing out too far. Just change your birth name.
Well, no, I mean you're talking about rebrand.
That's changing it a little bit too far.
If Shador were a corporation, he'd be
Shador. Built so
Shador
much
Corp now
about the S2 and everything associated with it. Like it was so perfect for him, but it was also so college. This is Shador moving forward. I like this. Good development for Shador.
That's a hell of a spin job by you.
It's just true. It's a great way to remarket
yourself. All because
yourself.
DeAndre Carter, who is a nobody. How are you going to spin this back
That's
when DeAndre Carter gets caught in August and Shador takes his number back?
Well, then he clearly would have felt like it wasn't worth the time of the rebrand.
So that he clearly
would have felt like, all right, we did enough. We did enough work here. We can go back to being number two now.
All right, number 12 has cleansed my soul for 3 months, and now I'm back to number two.
He might only need the rehab of the image for 3 months of getting away from college to the NFL. 3 months from now, we might be like, man, he really could spin it back in college, couldn't he? I don't love the people that are like, he's doing this to pay homage to Tom Brady, though. Don't love that.
Why don't you love that?
Because
that's very plausible.
I get it. Tom Brady helped train him since he was 15 years old. There's a lot related with him and Tom Brady. The practice sessions, everything under the sun. Tom Brady passed on you like 10 times.
By the way, Martin on Twitter saying 25 years and out for jersey retirement. I got $1 bobbed.
Yeah,
I said
30
years.
So he said 25.
Maybe 25 is a better number, but I just felt like 30, like we're equivalent about 5 years here. Right?
That was a $1 bob.
I got $1 bob. I can't be mad because it's a great move and you do it in the game. Still hurts.
I heard Max say 20 just 2 seconds ago. So, I mean, you're talking about $1
bleep
bob.
It. 15. Bleep all 10. Y'all. I'll go 10 if you make me.
I'm going to retire the number and then unretire.
I'm going to start negotiating against myself. 3 years, max.
You could never retire a jersey ever again.
216-474-0092. Is Shador trying to rewrite his image with his number change, or is the Carter guy, who I've already forgotten his first name,
DeAndre,
is he just a jab?
You have problems with DeAndres, I've noticed.
You're right. It's a bad day for me and DeAndres.
It's a bad name for you and DeAndres.
Yeah. Another Shador think piece that fails to hit the mark. That's in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
On my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed and Audacy Podcast wherever you get your podcasts.